This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. This is episode 14. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Oh, so let's tell you where I am in the space I'm coming from today, just to let you know. The space that I'm coming from today is I am wrapping myself in a little cocoon of kindness and gentleness and self-care and tenderness. I am wearing this shirt. So for those of you watching live, I got this shirt from my friend on Instagram at Positively Slim, and her name is Charlene, and she is a mindful trainer in London, and it says, "You create your own calm." And so this is the energy of the day that I am today. And so each of these shows are live and in the moment. I'm learning to relax into them. And so today I'm just going to be with where I am. And where I am is post-delivery of one of the biggest things I do all year long. And so, good morning, everybody. And so today, I'm going to do a couple of things before we start. I am going to share some of the wisdom that we learned at Camp Starheart. I'm going to try to share some of the experience. Camp Starheart is one of the testimonials that that Muddy from the Whiteboard Academy gave, was that it's an experience. How do you explain an experience with somebody? But I want to share some of the goodness and some of the good energy. And I also know that today my energy is I'm re-nurturing, right? I'm refilling up after I have used a lot of energy over the last few months and then this weekend. So in the way that I work and the way that I see the world, there's expansion and contraction. And contraction is not a bad thing. It's also just past the full moon. I'm sorry, not the full moon, the new moon. So I'm going into a little bit of feminine cocooning, and then next week I'm on vacation. And so the other thing, I don't know, I know that the live viewers know this, but the podcast viewers, I don't sit down and record a bunch of these, right? I do these live and in the moment. What you see is what you get, and that's just a part of me and how I am. So I'm coming to you today. I wouldn't necessarily consider myself off, but I'm not the highest of energy. I'm just in a little bit more subdued and tender place because I'm tired, y'all. So let's take a breath together, and then I want to pull a card from a new deck that I got. But let's just take a breath together. So I'm taking a breath with my live audience, and if you're listening on the recorded podcast, take a moment and take a breath. You may hear Clementine panting in the background. I have moved my dogs from upstairs in the crates to now trying them again in my office. And it's all perfect. So take a moment and just connect. Connect with where you are, connect with who you are. And so the first thing I want to share today, this has nothing to do with Camp Starheart, but I got this delicious deck. Let me see if I have the book right here. This is by a woman named Chris-Ann, and she has created the Sacred Creator's Oracle. And it's an abundance journey for your creator soul. So it's business-minded. Good morning. I see you guys all coming in, the live viewers. And so I just thought I'd pull us a card real quick. I'm not going to go into the reading, but just a card for today. Yes, we run the gamut here on the Better Life, Better Work show. And today we're conjuring extra spiritual energy for support. Okay, I love it. So the card that I pulled is gratitude again. Again, right? We can never have enough gratitude. Well, enough is not the right. We can never have too much. Gratitude again. Gratitude again. So this is perfect because today what I want to do is talk about the gratitude that I have for Camp Starheart. I want to share a little bit of the mojo with you. And I'm going through, I'm using as my notes. So this is interesting. Now you have to remember that I experience Camp Starheart differently than the people who are clients and attendees, right? I'm the one who puts it on. So I'm the hostess, I'm the MC, I'm the organizer, I'm the scheduler, I'm the planner. I'm also the one wanting each one of my clients to feel special and important. And I'm also in the room listening because I bring in some other speakers, etc. So to get the true experience, A, you got to come, and then B, it's been really fun just to see the afterglow of so many other participants and the excitement of so many participants. What's fun is for next year, we're already half sold out. I'm already halfway sold out. I've sold more tickets this year than I did last year already. So fun. Okay, so let's talk about Camp Starheart. First of all, what is Camp Starheart? The hardest question in the world to ask. So I had this vision of creating a live event for the purpose of gathering the community of people that I work with online in person. And I didn't want it to be a conference, and it wasn't quite a retreat. I've put on quite a few retreats, and it wasn't quite a retreat because it was larger. There was going to be some learning, but there's also going to be a lot of connecting. And as an introvert, I also have to create some energetic space. So like, I cannot imagine going to a Tony Robbins event. I know they're probably powerful and wonderful, but the energy that requires is just not something that I'm willing to put out as a participant or as a leader. And so everything around Camp Starheart, 90% of this event is intuitively created. Obviously, we logistically have to contract with the hotel, logistically have to enroll clients and sell tickets, logistically have to plan like the breaks and let my other speakers know when they go on, those kinds of things. And one of the magic things is the way that I create this event is through intuition. I listen, you guys. I listen. And that's one of the main things I want to encourage all my people to do is listen within. I was talking with a client this morning and on a coaching session, and I kept hearing her think. And I was like, hold on. What does your intuition say? You're using your head a lot. And what does your intuition say? And my intuition tells me who to ask to be speakers. It tells me how to do it. And it was so fun because it was as if this year between myself and the five speakers, it was as if we had planned for months logistically about the conversation, what people would say, how they would tie together. And honestly, you guys, It blows my mind, and yet it doesn't, because this is the way spirit works when you include spirit in business. So you combine spirit plus your, I've done my research and development. Okay. So I'm not new at this, and yet I still get amazed at, how everything ties together so beautifully and perfectly. And one of the fun things that happened this year says none of the speakers know what they're talking about. I asked them the last day, like right before we start, hey, message me what you're going to be talking about. Remember? And then I kind of used my intuition to plug them into my visual map of the schedule. And it was just amazing how perfect it was. And one of the things I heard the speakers say a lot was, oh, she's talking about what I'm going to talk about. She's talking about what I'm going to talk about. And everything overlapped in such a perfect way. And one of the things I know about the way we cognitively learn is through repetition. So it was almost as if we had planned to have slight overlap so that people would hear the same messages over and over again. The other thing that makes Camp Starheart super special to me. And so I'm going to actually kind of go through these visual notes. If you're on the Better Life, Better Work list, you'll get a copy of the visual notes. So that's allisoncrow.com/better. And if you're signed up to get the extra special notes, I'll send you a visual copy of all these. But one of the first things we do is the first evening, there's an opening ceremony. This year we made prayer flags. And everybody comes into me. So for me, part of the energetic work that I do with all clients, and that I think we can do everywhere. I can think we can do it with clients. We can do it in our homes. It's one of the things that makes better life and better work is we set an energetic container. Everything is in a container. Like even my home that I'm sitting in now, I'm sitting in my home office and energetically there is this container of the land that my home sits on, the neighborhood, and creating a sacred container and then inviting everybody in. So it is also just, it's really important to me that each person knows that they are a part of the circle, even if it's a bigger circle like Camp Starheart. I mean, obviously up to 40 people, up to 50 people is a larger circle, and yet the circle is still important. Okay. I like to work in circles. A lot is being revealed to me about the way I work, and not even in a linear circle, but in spheres. And so, what I love is the content for the event comes up in the room and it comes up through the conversations with people. And the first person to speak was Stacy Nelson. So Stacy Nelson is an author and my bestie. And she's also a coach and a writer. And she spoke about active surrender. I know Active Surrender is another book that she's working on, but she recently published. What did she recently publish? I can't believe I'm saying this. I have it sitting right here. The Master Soul Process. Sorry, Stacy. Oh, slow morning. So she recently published The Master Soul Process, and she, which was actually, don't mind the printer going off. Thanks for that sound. My husband's connected to my printer too in here. So she, last year, the talk that she gave at Camp Starheart was downloaded to her on the plane and she delivered it at Camp Starheart. And then this year it was the book that she gave everybody at Camp Starheart. And this year she talked about active surrender and she uses the infinity loop. And this was such a perfect setup to the whole weekend because she talked about, so there's the infinity symbol, right? That looks like a sideways ape. And she talked about how a lot of times our thinking goes into the past, right? In the ego. And then it shoots up into the forward with anticipation and hope and possibility. And we're kind of always in this loop. And isn't that true? I don't know anybody who doesn't do it, except for maybe monks sitting absolute from the world. But we're constantly going backwards or forwards. And she talked about being in the now. And what I loved about that, especially since I've been home, is I can recognize where I am on the loop. I can recognize and just notice. And I don't have to be forceful about going back to center. I can just notice the pattern. I can notice the back and forth and I can remember to come back to center. Remember to come back to now. Remember to come back to trust, presence, balance. And a lot of times when we're in the past or when we're in the future, Stacy was sharing with us that, you know, this is where we lose our shit, you guys. And so it's when we notice that it just is. It is neither good nor bad. And so what I took home from Stacy's was just the being in the center of coming back to be here now, which was interesting because be here now, somebody asked me, we met as a team before the event started and I just took a breath and they said, what's the theme of Camp Starheart? And all that I heard was breathe and be here now. And I'm sipping on my Daily Greens with, today I have Daily Greens Harmony that has, oh, this was the wrong one. I meant to grab the one with probiotics. It's all good. Anyways, then Rebecca came and spoke, and Rebecca spoke about how we other ourselves and others. We're constantly categorizing people and thinking of ourselves as separate. It's either them or us. And she talked about a little bit about also the fight or flight. Freeze, fight, or flight. So freeze, fight, or flight came up a couple of times at the event too. And that's been coming up as a theme for me in my own life. I was even sharing some with my sister yesterday. I was like, dude, we were raised in fight or flight as children. Sorry, mom and dad, but it's true. As children, there were very few moments when we weren't scanning the environment for something to go chaotic. And so our nervous systems, and many of us are like this in life, our nervous systems are waiting for, it's in fight or flight. We're in this tension place. And so Rebecca gave us some beautiful neurological information and support, talking about the body, the thoughts, the emotions, all these things, when really our soul just wants to be recognized. Our soul wants to be recognized. And how we can recognize when we're in our thoughts, get back into our body, soothe our emotions by breathing through our body, noticing our feelings, and then choosing our thoughts. And so very similar to the loop that Stacy had, it's like, again, coming back to the center, this t-shirt that I'm wearing, you create your calm. You create your calm. And then, of course, Monica came in with, Monica does some of the embodiment work, and she was talking about truth telling and the same kind of thing. Like, how do we recognize the truth in our bodies? Right. And it was interesting. A couple years ago when I was diagnosed with the adrenal fatigue, I remember my doctor saying to me, I remember her saying, you need to cut the stress back. And at the time, I couldn't see the stress in my life, you guys. I was like, what stress are you talking about? I coach a couple hours a day. I've got this pretty laid back life. I paint. I'm not stressed. I'm not having to take care of kids. I'm not having to take care of my parents. Like, I'm in this really easy place in life. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you wouldn't be having these if you didn't have some form of stress in your life. And I thought it was interesting. And through a couple of other sessions with a meditation psychologist, psychiatrist, Jeffrey Rutstein, I had, he helped me realize. So like all these little pieces, he helped me realize that my body and mind have been conditioned through trauma and childhood and through just life, that I've been conditioned where my lowercase natural state, so not my spiritual natural state, but the conditioned state of my being, was actually living in fight or flight all the time. My nervous system was waiting. It's like if it were red, green, and yellow, red is hot, yellow is medium, and green is peaceful. It was living up in orange, and I didn't even realize it. I wasn't even realizing that my natural lowercase natural state was this charged, tense, actually in, it wasn't in the full-on red fight or flight. It wasn't in reacting to that, but it was waiting for something to happen so that it would react. And so it's fascinating how the mind, body, and spirit connection shows up. So Monica gets us back in our body and helps us recognize that the body doesn't lie, that we notice our sensations. And of course, this is some of the work that I do with my clients too, energetically, is tell me what, tell me what your body is telling you. And then of course, Isabel comes in with how to create heaven on earth. And she's actually talking about some of the same stuff too. So she has this beautiful triangle that kind of helps you recognize that green, yellow, red zone and kind of measure where are we? Where are we when we're stressed? Where are we when we're relaxed? Where are you on a regular basis? And at the bottom of this triangle is this, what she calls, and I think she got it from Andrew Weil, the God response. Being So the God response is the same thing as being in that neutral place that Stacy talked about. And the God response is about being in the same central place that Rebecca talked about, the soul, the place where our soul wants to be recognized. She shared a little bit more about the fight or flight response, the God response. And one of the things that I love, she talked about like envisioning yourself as a riverbed, as the, just our job is to get wider and more open. And so often we contract and we close, and think about what that does in your body. So, you guys realize also I'm trying to put three and a half days of content. We haven't even talked about what I talked about. I don't remember what I talked about. But this is just some of the juice. It's so good. There's so many. So if you get even a tiny little nugget and want to go and learn more, and at some point it's very possible I may have the videos to sell. If you really want to hear what happened in the room, obviously all these women have their own offerings. I just got off track. All is well. I am a riverbed. And so how this, I love this question of coming back to neutral, coming back to being the riverbed, coming back to our being, who we be. And last night as I laid in bed, I'm not going to lie, Thursday was the first day that I didn't have any appointments booked since I got back. And yet I still had a big to-do list. And I noticed that 11:11 at night, I was still wound up. I was still checking my phone. And I looked at my husband and said, I am working too much. And then this morning when the dogs woke me up at 6 something, I could feel that tension in my chest of like I could feel the cortisol actually in my body last night and this morning. I could feel the being in the yellow and the red zone of, you know, I'm not really responding or reacting to anything, but I can feel the tension. I can feel the edge. And so my focus, that's one of the reasons I'm on purpose being in this more calm, subdued space, is because I am, as my t-shirt says, you create your own calm. And so I'm giving myself permission and space to slow down, to be the riverbed. Despite, you know, my to-do list won't change, my technology problems won't change, but I can be the riverbed, or I can be neutral. I can choose with many breaths. It's taking more than one breath for me lately, but I can choose with these breaths to come back to the God response. I love that term, Isabel, the God response. So for you in this moment, wherever you are, even if you're in a really great place, right? Even if you're in a really high place, for a moment, just come back to your center, your soul, your God response. That's one of the gifts of Camp Star Heart. And I'll tell you what it does for people in a minute. Then our final speaker. So in between all the speakers, I would share my wisdom and my thoughts. And frankly, I can't remember what a lot of it is. And I also got to witness and work with some clients. And so somebody was giving me feedback this morning that just saying, you know, when you were on stage working with a client, we were all in the room witnessing and observing, but having our own stuff. So this idea that we are all one and being able to be mirrors was just beautiful. It's funny, my brain is going in circles, not in a line, but my images are in a line. So Varian was our final speaker the last morning, and she was awesome. She talked about perspective and power and a bunch of P's. Perspective, the power within. The biggest thing I got from her was the perspective. So she did an exercise with all of us about our perspectives. She talked about having a higher view. And for me, the higher view comes when I'm able to come to neutral, when I'm able to come to center, I have a higher view, and that we can choose. So she was super powerful and practical and funny and amazing to have in the room, really gave us a grounding. You guys, these women I surround myself with are just miraculous. And so I couldn't do it without them. And I'm so thankful for how they show up and give and love and their wisdom. And it's more wisdom than any of us can put in a, you know, a 60-minute live show or podcast. And so let me connect to my heart for a minute here. And I want to tell you what I felt at camp and give you some of those feelings. One of my favorite moments was at the end of one of the days. I don't remember the days, but at the end of one of the days, I went out to sit with some other participants on this lawn at this hotel. The way that it's shaped is it's shaped like an oval. It's shaped like a big vagina, let's be real. And it's a newer hotel in the last couple of years, but it's an old motel. It's got the style of an old motel. So all the doors face the inside. There's a big lawn, and I get regrounded. I get refilled by being in the grass. So I sat out there. Next thing you know, the whole camp, everybody is hanging out on the lawn like we're having a picnic and dinner and drinks and conversation and dancing and singing and laughing. And what I loved about that is it wasn't a planned part of the event, but I really, my heart was touched how much those of us sitting behind our computers and our desk and our work and our families, how much we need to be in the same space with one another. And so I really do want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, and I think I've done this in a couple of episodes lately. It's really coming up. Get out from behind your computer. Get out from behind your device and connect with people. And what's amazing is most of these people, they might have known of each other on Facebook. Some of them were brand new. There was one woman there from London that doesn't use Facebook. And it was so amazing how by just sharing some space with one another, we were able to create such a healing and reviving connection. I noticed that many of the women who were there came into the room with a struggle of not truly being able to be who they really are. And I love that after a few days marinating in the okayness, in the welcomeness of who they are and who they be to all extremes, that they began to have more self-trust and more confidence in who they are. And that was my intention. My intention would be that they would walk in the doors of Camp Starheart one person that they thought they were, and that they would leave transformed, not into a new person, but that they would leave transformed into who they were before they got lost. That they would strip off the layers of who they think they should be, of what their parents think, of what their clients think, and that they would really go home with some clarity and some confidence and some, like, a fresh shine because they've washed some of the muck of shoulding and shitting all over life the way it's supposed to be. And I feel like they really got that. I feel like they really got that. Not to mention we have a little bit of fun. It just really is a delicious event. If I had more energy and capacity, I might do it a couple of times a year. And right now, it's only one time a year. It's one time a year. So we do have the dates booked for next April at Camp Starheart. And I wanted to give a special offer just this weekend. So this live recording is done on April 28th. If you're just listening to the podcast, it's very possible that the date will be missed. But just this weekend through the end of April, I have up a special early bird. I'm calling it the Big Bird, the Big Early Bird Special. So the normal ticket price next year for the Camp Starheart will be $1,333. And the early bird in December will be $999. But if you register early, because of what you've seen or heard, or because you wanted to come this year and couldn't, if you register early and you go to allisoncrow.com/bigbird, there is a price of $777 available just through the end of April. So just two more days. It's just a little quickie incentive for anybody that is ready to make a decision now. More than half of the room bought tickets for next year, and a couple of them bought tickets for friends. And so I've already sold more tickets this year than last year. It is limited space. I don't like to be in scarcity, but the enthusiasm and the excitement for this event, the power of this connection. And I'm not going to say that you're going to come to Camp Starheart and I'm going to teach you how to make millions of dollars. That's not what it's about. But I am going to say that you're going to come to Camp Starheart and you're going to remember who you are. Next year, the theme, thanks to some of the gals in the room, next year, the theme of Camp Starheart is going to be the too much woman. So I want people to bring their too muchness. And their too muchness also represents where you think you're not enough. So, for example, one woman was talking about her too muchness being like she would wear cowboy boots and this flouncy skirt and this big hat, and she would be a little bit more bold in the world. And another woman's too muchness was actually, you're too quiet. You're too sensitive. And so many of us, you're too woo-woo, you're too Christian, you're too non-Christian, you're too political, you're too whatever. And so many of us are shackled down by this idea that we're either too much of this or too much of that, or we do this too much or we don't do that enough. So the theme for next year's Camp Starheart is the too much woman. But I just wanted to let you know that the too much does include those who... the too muchness, the too much woman. It also includes those who you're too quiet, you're too sensitive, you're too small, you're playing. How many of you have been told you're playing too small and that you need to leave your comfort zone? I mean, there's a time and a place for that. My friend Kayla Floyd, I saw that she said, search Pinterest and you'll see all these things about leave your comfort zone to grow. And sometimes our comfort zone is exactly where we need to be. We don't allow ourselves to be in the comfort of who we really are. And I'm realizing after all these years, I'm going through this branding process, and the branding isn't about changing so much on the outside. It's about helping me really clarify what it is I do. And I'm realizing what it is I help people do is I help them see who they really are and what they really want, and do the inner work and the clearing work and the spiritual work and the thinking work and the feeling work. And then we do the practical strategy work and the business moxie too. And that's part of what Camp Starheart does. It is throwing you in the cockpit of juicy love, connection, acceptance, radical acceptance for who you are and who you be. Deep interconnection that sets the stage for the rest of the way of being, right? When you get all that inner stuff aligned and you get clear on it and you begin to own your desires instead of taking on the desires of those around you, it leads to much more powerful things. It's not so much difficult, but one of the tricky things about the work that I do is I have to really trust that people are going to take what they get and do something with it or be something with it, right? That it's not just going to be entertainment. And so I realize that a lot of times when we go to events or when we're talking about selling an event, and I'm kind of going into the business mode for those of you who create things like this or have offerings, y'all know I can't help but share behind the scenes and some of the meta and the strategy. But a lot of times when you're talking about how do you sell this event, what do you put on the sales page? What am I going to get, right? Everybody wants to know, what am I going to get? And as a consumer, of course, we want to know, what am I going to get by spending my time and money at this? And what I've noticed about the people that work with me are there people that know that when they put themselves in a certain environment and give themselves a certain experiment, that it is the instigator for what they will give themselves. And so for these events, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to leave and we're going to have your funnels set up, or I'm going to teach you 13 ways to connect with the divine inside or get your business shit done. That's just not the way I work. I don't do bullshit bullet point promises. And there's magic in the room. There's teaching in the room. There's extreme love in the room. There's queso in the room. Okay. You cannot be in Texas and not have queso. So if you're interested and want to look into that, there's no rush. You don't have to rush. The tickets will, I'll have some other tickets at the end of the year. They're just going to be more expensive. So if you had wanted to come this year, would love to. There is, I just want to give opportunity for people who make decisions early. There's the big bird price. And don't you love that big yellow bird, right? The big bird, the big early bird price. So that's just a little bit about camp. Some ideas that are coming out of this is interesting. I've learned so much so I've done 3 retreats and 2 live events over the last 6 years. Of course, I love being here, I've done more than 3 retreats. I forget. Oh my gosh, I just totally, you guys, how many of you have done this? I just totally diminutize what I've done. I've done at least 9 retreats at my house. I have a painting retreat coming up in June at my house too. I actually have 3 more spots for that available. That one's selling out pretty quick. And I have done retreats in Tulum, and I've done retreats in Colorado, and I've done... Where else have I done retreats? I guess the other 2 were at my house. I've done them on horse, at horse farms where we do equus coaching. And I have some experience with what it takes to put on a live event, big or small. And, you know, moving from a 7, 8, 9, 10 person event to a 30 to 40 person event, contracting with hotels, those kinds of things. So at some point, I think it could be really fun to have a little one-off class where I share and teach with you what I've learned from failing forward and creating these events. And the way I tend to do it is I just decide I want to do an event and I go figure it out. And so usually the first year, there's no profit, but the idea is to pull it off. And then the second year is the learning year. And then maybe the third year is the profit year. And so it's been an interesting journey on the business aspect of how to do this. And I think, so something that may be born out of this, I've got a lot on my plate that I want to create and that I am creating, but I'm putting on the side burner this little one-off class on running live events, right? And taking everything I know and sharing it with you guys and taking the ways that I've screwed up. And I've gotten a lot of feedback this last time too. So my AV guy's done lots of events. There's some places where I spend too much money. There's some places where I don't spend enough money. It's interesting. There's just so many when you get back into the spreadsheet of the event and the planning of the event. It's interesting. I will tell you, I just contracted with the hotel again. This is my 3rd year at this space, and they were so cute. They said, first of all, we love your clients. Your clients are so nice. They're some of our best guests. And so I wonder if they get a bunch of obnoxious people. My clients are great guests. And they said, we just want to thank you for your business. And so they are, I loved it. They're giving a cocktail reception. They're like going to do a reception for us. They're going to let us spend an hour in their bar with beer or wine and queso for free. So I thought that was nice of them to, you know, reward me for coming back year after year after year. So that's something fun that will probably come out of that. Let's do this. We've got a few more minutes. We got plenty more time. I just wanted to give a little bit. And thank y'all for letting me be me and just give what I have to give you. You know, some days I'm all class and I have everything structured out. And today I just felt like hanging out, almost like it's Sunday brunch. And the only thing we don't have is mimosas. We're doing daily greens instead. And that's because I'm listening to my body and my body is telling me it needs something. So I'm listening. But it's almost like we're having Sunday brunch and just kind of talking about it. And I wish we could all be together, you know, either out on that lawn or on a giant table talking. So there are some people live online. So those of you who listen to the podcast, if you ever want to come to the live show and be a part of the show, and actually I may even be playing with some point, some interactive stuff coming up soon, but I do the live show on my Facebook page, my business page, on Friday mornings at 11 Central. So you're always welcome to come. Right now, there's a handful of people. So do you have any questions? What's coming up for you? Do you have any questions? Muddy, I love it. I see quite a few of the Camp Star Heart participants that were here. I see Muddy. I see Tammy. Tammy came all the way from, she came all the way from Alaska, and it was so cute, you guys. So she comes from Alaska, and the first day she was there, she was like, what are these birds? And they're grackles in Austin, Texas. And actually up here in the Dallas area of Texas too, we have these black birds. They're grackles. They're like the squirrels of birds. And then the other thing that I thought was so funny about Tammy, because, you know, she's from Sitka, Alaska, and this is a long way for her to come, was the cricket. She had a bug in her room. I have this giant bug in my room, and there was a giant cricket in her room, but she'd never seen one before because they don't have crickets in Alaska. So let me see if any questions have come up. What questions do you guys, what thoughts do you have? Just getting done with a gig. Muddy says, glad to be here. Sabra's here. Elise is here. Shanti is here. Shanti was a speaker last year, and she spoke about shame, blame, and guilt. And then it was so fun because Shanti told me later, she was like, just being able to speak in the room and sharing with you guys, I actually went home and she created one of her highest paying clients ever from the energy of that. So we didn't talk about creating, but it cleared so much in her heart and her energy. Megan Winkler, hope you can come next year, honey. Ernie, hi, welcome everybody. Angela, thank you. Lauren, hello. Lauren Holder, a client of mine who just or is about to release her book. Anybody else here? Sue Keeley is here. Feeling full of great ideas, but struggling to implement. I'm scared of losing my heart connection if I work too hard. Oh my gosh. Okay, I love this. I love this question. Amina, I hope that's how you say your name. So Amina asks, oh, this is brilliant. Perfect. Thank you. I love how this works. Amina, feeling full of great ideas, but I'm struggling to implement. I'm scared of losing my heart connection if I work too hard. Any insights, please? Darling, I so feel you. And actually today in my chest, in my body, and those of you who see the live show, like I'm leaning on my chair. I'm not even paying attention to what I look like on the screen. I'm just melting into my chair. I so feel you because there are times when we work so hard, we do lose our heart connection. And I want to tell the truth here. So I'm a big both and person. I'm realizing that. It's not all or nothing. We don't always work hard. You guys, as human beings, we are organic in nature. We are symbolic. We are circular. We are spherical. Right. So here's what happens. Amina, I'm the same. Last night I looked over at my husband at 11 o'clock and I said, I am working too hard. And I was done with the computer and working, but it's 11:10 at night and my brain is still working. I've lost my heart connection. Right. So it happens. This is where we get ourselves into trouble is I think that we think that there's this promised land. Right. And I love working with ease and flow and where it feels everything is easy. There are many moments of that. And because we live in a perfectly balanced and counterbalanced life, there is also darkness and winter and shadow. And so what I really want to encourage you guys to do, if you're thinking along, first of all, if we're afraid of losing our heart connection, then that's different from actually losing it. So the fear can stop you. So Amina, I want to just encourage you and anybody else to, again, one of the things that came up, Muddy drew the picture. It was so cute. One of the little things that popped out of my head was Google your heart. Like we're so quick to go to our head. We're so quick to go to Google to find out answers. And so this way of checking within is Google your heart. Take a breath. What does your heart, Amina, say? Right. If you were my client, I would ask you, what does your heart say about implementing your ideas? What does your heart say about creating connection? And I'll tell you what my heart says. My heart says, Allison, it's a both and world. We do a little bit of each every day. Right. I tend to, you know, I wake up, I breathe, I ease into my mornings, and I check in with my divine self. I Google my heart. I check in with my divine business manager. What's important today? And yesterday, you know, one of the things I wanted to have done, because I knew this weekend I was going to offer that 777 price, so I needed to have the page done. I spent a lot of time on the page, and I had some problems, and I had some problems with my gateway. P.S. If you sign up over there and have problems, message me. I have a brand new system, and it's taking a little bit more time and work. And this morning when I was stressed out about that, and I felt I had lost my connection, here's what I did, Amina. I went back to my heart, and I asked my heart about it. And you know what my heart said? My heart said, well done yesterday, Allison. I know it was a lot of work, and now you can rest this weekend. Right? So we do both, and there are some days when we do work too much, and what we're doing is creating a life that is by our choice. So it's not all or nothing. And that's what I have found when I connect with my heart and I keep my heart connection. My heart knows how to recover on nights where I do a bender building the back end of my website. And if I listen on a regular basis, then my heart says, yeah, today, Allison, after you do your live, that was the other thing. So about the live show, like I started to stress about, I knew I wanted to give this with Camp Starheart. And of course, in my ideal perfection mind, I would have sat down and I would have had this, here's all the points I want to tell everybody at Camp Starheart. And I would have had some powerful invitation and powerful sale, da, 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 da. And you know what my spirit said this morning when I checked in with her? She said, sweetheart, you are tired. It is okay to go into the yin. It is okay to cocoon. And you can even do your show from within your cocoon. Duh. We don't think of that. We should ourselves, right? We should all over ourselves. Like, oh, it has to be this certain way. But who says, it's my show. I'm the boss of my show. Who says that I can't come and lean on my armchair and just melt and allow myself to have softer, rambling energy? Who says? Right? And so the ego says, well, what if somebody doesn't like it? Then somebody doesn't like it. It's okay. It's okay to be you. It's okay to be you in your implementation. And it's okay to be you in your connection. It's okay for you to be in your overwhelm. It's okay for you to be in your exhausted from doing a little bit of a hustle. I don't like the full-time hustle, but sometimes we got to shake our booties. So Amina, if you will keep your heart connection first, it will help you moderate. It will help you know which ideas to implement. That's how the insights I have for your amazing question. And it takes practice. So one of the things I love, this little tool, y'all have seen me, I love this Danielle Laporte Daily Journal, right? The soul prompt. What do I want to feel today? So before she gets you into your to-dos, she gets you into your heart. Go to your heart first. Love that question. Okay, Angela says, I understood the fight or flight childhood. I want to not transfer this to my children, and it panics me a bit because I'm still a work in progress. So here's the thing. Fight or flight is natural, you guys. It's a part of our amazing body. What can we teach our children to do? We can teach our children to meditate. We can teach our children to breathe. We can teach our children what does your body feel like? What does let's say your child comes home from school. I've had this conversation with a couple clients. Let me take one more sip of my drink. Let's say your child comes home from school and says, oh, I had a really bad day, Mom. Life is horrible. My teacher is mean and Bobby beat me up. And so often as parents, we go into reactionary fix-it protector mode. And what if we said, thank you so much for telling me. What else? And what else? And what else? And we just listened. And then we said, okay, son or daughter, let's take a breath together. What do you notice in your body? Teach your children, what does your heart say? Teach them the distinctions between what does your thinking say? Kids will really get this, you guys. Kids will really get this. Angela, your little ones really will get it. And if you don't wait for them to be adults, start teaching them early. What does your body say? Right? Oh, my tummy hurts. What does your tummy need? Right? Teach them to be in tune with not just their head, but to teach them to be in tune with their heart, teach them to be in tune with the sensations of our body, and teach them to breathe. Yes, someone just wrote red zone, right? What zone are you in? There's a school I saw. I saw this video on Facebook. It was amazing. It's about teaching our kids emotional. I can't remember the words, but this principal has this, you know, she has this red, yellow, green, blue zone, et cetera. Like, and throughout this whole elementary school, what zone are you in? And the kid says, I'm in the red zone. And they have strategies and tools for when they're in the red zone. I'm in the blue zone. I can't remember all the details of this, but it was really amazing. So Angela, I am not going to tell you, you're not going to pass fight or flight. I mean, you've got to do your own work. Don't beat your children, please. Please provide for them. Please feed them. Please nurture them. And as you be present with you and learn to check in with you, model it. One of the ways we learn this, I tell this to all of my one-on-one clients, as they are learning, especially if they have kids, if they don't have kids, well, I don't tell them this, but if they have kids, I say, let's bring your kids into this. Why don't you teach your kids? You know, mommy is learning to check in with her heart, right? Mommy is learning to take a breath. Breathe. Teach your children to breathe. Because fight or flight is a very natural response. And so it's going to happen. And what we can do is begin to notice it and practice dropping down into the God response, dropping down into the peaceful place, right? And I'm mixing all kinds of analogies here, but you can pick and fuse the language that works for you. Angela and anybody else that wants to bring this, start teaching your kids meditation. And it doesn't have to be like this kind of meditation, but teach them the vocabulary. Give them the vocabulary to discuss feelings without making feelings wrong. So here's another one. Do not tell your kids to stop crying. How about tell me about your tears? Tell me about your tears. I think it was Varian who said, why do we say I had a breakdown? I cried and broke down. What if that's a breakthrough? So many people, we're so uncomfortable. Like some of these things I've cried and people are like, oh, don't cry. No, crying is good. Crying is your body telling you something. So say, tell me about your tears. I am here for you. I will not leave you. It's one of the same ways. So somebody in the room was talking about her anger. And for so long, she hasn't allowed herself to have anger because she didn't want to have anger on her kids the way her family had anger on her. I get it. She wants to protect them, but we're also doing a disservice when we're shoving anger down. So how can we learn to be with these shadow emotions? We're not going to make them go away, you guys. Life and death, good and bad, light and shadow, happiness and grief and fear and pain. I have so many sweet friends that are in deep grief. Some that have lost their husbands. One sweet client that just found out that she has bone cancer. Her breast cancer that she healed from has now turned into bone cancer. I have a friend that lost her sweet dog. I have a friend that's lost her husband a few months ago. And it's like, no, you don't have to stop crying. You don't have to, quote, heal. You are healing by being all that you are. And we don't teach our kids this. We teach them, you have to be happy. Stop crying. Feel good. We teach fix instead of allow, recenter, then readjust. Okay, the dogs might bark. Cool guys here. Maybe they'll be really good. Okay. Diana says, I have a question on giving the right way to teach appreciation. Ooh, this is interesting, Diana. Okay, we have just a few minutes. Being too much and learning and leaning into that with love and accepting. Would you rather be too much or boring? Well, and here's the other thing. If you're too boring, then be boring as long as you like it. Just be to yourself. Glad that was helpful, Amina. Okay, I've got time for this one more question. And then I'm going to go into my weekend. I have a dog training appointment. Okay, so Diana, if you're still here, go ahead and ask your question on giving the right way to teach appreciation. I'm going to go ahead. I don't know you very well, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not giving if you're trying to teach appreciation. Do you see that? If we're giving in order to something, it's not a gift. It's a manipulation. Okay, so help me understand your question, because when we are trying to, who are you trying to teach appreciation? Are you trying to teach your children? Which I feel like as a parent, like we're trying to show them and teach them how to be in the world, but we cannot teach somebody else to appreciate. That it doesn't work that way. We can't control somebody else's behavior. So Diana, tell me a little bit more about your question. Okay, because if we are giving to get a response, we are not giving, we are manipulating. And this is one of this concept energetically and philosophically and theoretically comes from this idea of receiving and true giving. So giving does not have any attachment with it. Giving does not have an attachment. What if I gave all I know and I have a feeling now that I am backfired? Okay, so this is the thing. Most givers, this is in, I can't remember which session it is. Maybe session two. It's one of the very first four. Session two, three, or four. I want you to go back and listen to this one, Diana, because this is about, so this is what this is really good stuff. And there's a whole episode on it. There are so many of us out there that take care of other people and that we give and we give and we give. We give because it feels good. We give because we want to be liked. We're giving because we want to give something back. And yet we don't set boundaries. We don't receive. And we end up costing ourselves. So we're not actually giving with mindfulness. We're just giving willy-nilly, hoping we'll get something back. And it's in the same way, it's a way that caregivers accidentally tip over genuine giving, caring, and tip over into manipulating other people's, or trying to change other people. And so the extreme version of this, I'm not saying you are this, Diana, but the extreme version is the martyr that says, I gave and gave and gave, and now it's just kicking me in the ass. You never give anything back. That's martyrdom. That's not giving. Okay. And so the opposite end is, well, I don't know if it's the opposite. Hold on. Let me check in. Something in me wants to like visually draw this out. It is okay for you. So this is the other thing. Okay. Here's what's coming. We have to be full from the inside before we give. If we are giving to get something, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. And so if you're giving too much and haven't given to yourself, stop giving. I don't know what your circumstance is. What if I gave all I know? My question for you, Diana, is around this. This sounds like a deeper conversation or even like a coaching conversation more than a simple Q&A. But what I want you to do is I want you to go inside and I want you to ask your divine self, Google your heart. What does your heart say about this giving and what you're getting back? And I'm curious to know what your answer is. What does your heart say? Not your head, not your ego, not your need to be right or wrong. What does your heart say? My heart says it's okay to say no. You know, you guys, so this is interesting. I love feeling connected with my people. I love, I love being close. I loved, like, at the event, someone said, oh my gosh, where at the live event does the speaker, you know, the head person come and hang? I love to hang with my people. I am the girl next door archetype, right? And so I love that. And which means I have now, so I have very open, you know, people can message me, they can email me, but I have to give myself permission to not email back, to not message back. There are some times when my text and voice, not voice message, because thank God nobody calls me. Please don't call me. I hate phone calls. But when my Facebook message box and my inbox and my text messages are so full, I just can't respond. And society says, oh, that's rude not to respond. But I've got to protect, or I have to tell somebody I can't respond right now. Somebody sent me a beautiful offer, an invitation to do something last night. And I just said, you know, I can't look at this for a while. And so, but what the manipulator does, the manipulator who disguises themselves as the giver, is we respond to all that so that we will be liked. So that we will be liked, we make ourselves, we give too much. And I have learned and am learning to let people be disappointed in me. It's hard. I think about that with Camp Starheart. I even told the speakers, I said, I'm afraid some of y'all will be disappointed, right? I probably won't have 5 speakers next year. Some people, you know, it's going to be different. I'm afraid of disappointing the people in the room. And I have to do what works for me or the whole system breaks down. And it's not because I'm more important, but I am more important for my business. It's that self-centered. So when I can be centered and take care of me, then everything in my environment is taken care of. Then the other thing is too, so regarding this giving, sometimes we're looking at the person we're giving to. Why would they be appreciative if they just can suck off your teeth, so to speak, right? Like, this was another thing. Somebody asked a question in the room. I can't remember the exact question, but I know the answer was because you're not seeing them as capable. Our job, you know, if we keep seeing our kids as victims, they're going to be victims. If I see my client as able, I'm going to speak to her or him like they're able. If I see them as resourceful and problem solving, they're going to do it. But if I answer every, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this question? Then I become Google, and then I become exhausted, and then the whole thing breaks down. Right? So I don't know if that helps you, Diana. I hope that helps you. There's a very good book. I'm going to get up and grab it real quick. So excuse me for leaving the screen. For any of you that are givers, caretakers, or givers, I want you to go buy this book, The Power of Receiving, A Revolutionary Approach to Giving Yourself the Life You Want and Deserve by Amanda Owen. I'm still working through this book. It's easy to see. And it really does give some good stuff for those of us who feel like we give and we give and we give and we don't get back. And I want to tell you, in my business for a long time, I felt like I give and I give and I give and I give. And I was kind of got in that pissy place. Like, I don't get back. People don't appreciate it. But you know what? So this was the example in the room. I'm going to share the truth. I really didn't want to do this event where I like had this upsell. In my mind, I thought of it as this slimy upsell, because I was doing the event to connect with people in the room. And so last year, I kind of made a half-ass invitation. I didn't talk about doing Camp Starheart next year. I said, oh, these are the programs I'm going to be offering. And I was really insecure about it. And this year, I had an idea. I mean, I created a menu. I realized last year, my failure was that I didn't realize that people want to know how they can continue working with you. That's not an upsell. They want to keep going. And then I'm doing a disservice by going, well, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable with making an offering in the room. And this year, when I offered to the room a special deal for registering for Camp Starheart a year ahead of time, I sold 20 tickets. 20. Some people were like, can I buy one for my friend now? And when I offered the painting retreat, 4 spots sold out. And when I offered my Sacred Sister Circle that doesn't even have a form yet, just a price of $9,000, I had 2 people say, I'm in. And so I had to get over my fear of being disliked. And this wasn't about implementing a system, but this was about, so here's the other thing. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have paid for the event. I would be upside down in the event. But selling those tickets paid the hotel bill. And by not giving to myself, by offering the invitation, I would have been sucking meat on the hotel bill and not even thinking about doing it next year because I would feel like a victim. So we have to set the parameters in our life. We have to find the place between both and. So I found a way to make an invitation that felt really authentic and loving and genuine and that my clients in the room loved. It was amazing. It was amazing. And it was such an insight of, oh, I can give and receive. Holy cow. But I'm having to do my work on receiving. I'm having to do not give like a martyr. I'm having to learn how to give and how to give to myself, right? And so one of the ways we do this is with clients and filters. Not everybody can work. Yeah. So thank you all so much for being here. Christy, it was so fun to meet you in person. Christy has been in my classes, and it was just so, that was the other thing. It was so fun to meet these people from across the sky in person. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, I've gone 5 minutes over. I was laughing because it's like, oh, podcast should be 20 minutes long. No, my podcast should be as long as they are, and my clients don't mind hanging out. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I do want to give you that offer. Then the doors are going to close for a while and I'm going to rest and recoup. But through the end of this weekend, so the page will go away on the 1st of May. So today's April 28th, 29th, and 30th. So for 3 days, that 777 price is done. It's non-refundable, so you're making a commitment. But that gives you plenty of time to create some money to get your flights and all that other stuff, because the date, the Camp Starheart dates for next year are April 25th through 28th. And you're going to want to fly in on either the 24th or the 25th, and you're going to want to fly home on the 29th. So that's the scoop on the Camp Starheart. Let me tell you a little bit of else what's coming on as I close out here. Let me just kind of debrief my brain. I do have the painting retreat. It's on allisoncrow.com/, well, I don't know if it's /, but on allisoncrow.com at the upper right, there are, I've sold 4, sold one more today, 5, 6. There are 3 spaces left in my house where room and board is free. Well, room is free. Your sleeping arrangements are taken care of. So the first 8 people get to sleep in the house. If it goes beyond 8 people, you're stuck in a Howard Johnson on your own dime. You really want to be in the house slumber party style for the painting retreat. I do have a Sacred Sister Circle opening up. It's going to be totally witchy. It's going to be totally spiritual. Right now, it's called the Rainbow Mystic Priestess Sister Circle, Sister Circle, Rainbow Mystic Sister Circle. And it's going to be a 7-month program for $9,000. I'm still, those, the things I create take a little while, but I already have 2 of those 7 spots filled. That's one of the most magical things I do. And I'm not going to tell you all about it right now. I love you, but I'm just not going to tell you all about it right now. I'm tired. I love you. I appreciate you. Next week, I will be on a beach. So I am not doing a live from the beach, but I am going to do a pre-recorded show, or who knows, maybe I show up live from the beach. We'll see. We'll see. We'll play it by ear. Maybe live from the beach would be really fun and interesting. Maybe that would, who knows? Maybe I'll take my mic and plug it into my iPhone and set it up and share some vacation spot with you. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Special shout out to the podcast listeners. It's so fun to watch this grow. We finally have over 1,000 views, 1,100 downloads. And it's so fun to see the countries all over the world where people come. So say hi. Come over to the page and say hi. Message me. Let me know you're out there. I love to know you're out there. It was fun today on the live stream seeing so many new faces and names. And I love when you guys engage. Ah, all right. Peace out. Yeah, peace out. Bye, you guys. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.alisoncrowe.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.alisoncrowe.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.